As I mentioned, this week we have another set of passages that have to do with wealth and money, though our gospel reading can go many different ways. We read it, though, in light of especially our readings from 1 Timothy, which give to us, I guess you could say, bookends on how life should be and how life could be. In one end, we see the life of the rich man from our parable as his life is, but on the other end of our reading from 1 Timothy, we see the rich man as his life should have been. So on one hand, from 1 Timothy, we get this warning from Paul, who says in verses 9 and 10, that those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. As we'll see, that certainly is the case of the rich man. But here's the other end of the bookend of how he should have been. And we get this from verses 17 and 18 from 1 Timothy. That those who are rich should set their hopes not on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They, the rich, are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. Now, I know off the bat what some of us, maybe many of us, are thinking, that, well, I'm not rich. This passage has nothing to do with me. You're wrong. This passage has everything to do with all of us. Just because we maybe don't have a lot of monetary wealth, we're not driving around in limousines or shiny cars, or we don't have a huge house on the hill, doesn't mean that we aren't in some way wealthy. We are all, each of us, blessed. And even if that isn't the case, many of us still have a desire for riches. And so Jesus in this parable is talking to a group of Pharisees especially. In passages prior to this, Jesus talks about the Pharisees as being lovers of money. And so this passage in many ways is directed to them. And he gives this famous parable. And he begins by saying that there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. Because this man was dressed in purple does not mean he was a Vikings fan. It means that purple was a color associated with wealth, because to have purple clothing cost a lot of money, because it was hard to get the dye to make clothing that was purple. So if you wore purple, it was a color of wealth, and it was a color of kings. It was a color of extravagance. And this man here is extravagant. He feasts every day. Usually feasts were reserved for special times of the year. But here, this man is feasting every day. We learn right off the bat that this rich man is grossly extravagant. He throws his wealth around. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to be satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. Each and every day, this man goes in and out of his gate, and there lies this man named Lazarus, who is so malnourished, so poor, that all he can do is lay there. That his lack of nourishment shows itself on his skin, and he has sores that are open and wounded. And he would love to even just have the crumbs from this man's table, the crumbs that would be reserved for the dogs. But instead, the dogs come and lick his sores. He's apparently so weak and in such a desperate state that he can't even defend himself from the dogs who come to him. Yet every day, this man, this rich man, and his guests would pass by this guy and do nothing. The rich man thought that Lazarus was someone else's problem. And so then we learn in this parable that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, which is another word in our New Testament for hell. In Hades, where this rich man was being tormented, he looks up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he calls out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." Both these men are part of the Jewish faith, and Lazarus must have been a man of faith. And so he is rewarded in his death. He is carried by the angels to be in heaven at Abraham's side. But the rich man was not. He is the man who Paul warns against, that his richness has led him into his own ruin, his own destruction. He has been led away from his faith, and so he is tormented in Hades. But even in his torment, he looks up and he sees Lazarus, and at the very least, he still sees Lazarus as someone who should serve him. He beckons Abraham to send Lazarus out of this beautiful place of bliss to come down into hell and the flames itself to serve the rich man in his pain. What audacity. But we learn from Abraham that the rich man's lot, his situation has been fixed. There's no going from one place to another. There's no leaving where he is. He is in torment. And so the rich man then kind of changes his strategy a little bit. He for the first time probably ever, he starts thinking about someone else instead of himself. He has his brothers on his mind. And so he asks Abraham that Abraham would then send Lazarus out of the place that he is in, the Abraham's bosom, we often hear it called, out of this heavenly place, so that Lazarus could go visit his brothers and warn them of what is to come of them, almost like the ghost of Christmas future in the Christmas story. The rich man does not want his brothers to come to the same place of torment. But Abraham says to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Your brothers should listen to them." Abraham's words here are very telling. They're very important for us to hear. This is maybe the most important part of this passage for hearers of this word today, because Abraham is telling the rich man that his brothers have the word of God. They have the word of God that Moses has written down, that the prophets have given. Basically, they have, what he's saying here is, they have the Old Testament. They have the word of God that is given to them. They should listen to them, because in the word of God is everything you would need to know on how to live, everything you would need to know on how to be forgiven, everything you would need to know that God desires of you is in this word that you rich man, should have heard at one point and should have known by these words that when there is a man outside your door who has a need, you give up some of your riches and you see to his life. But this isn't good enough for the rich man. And so he continues to beg that Abraham would send Lazarus to his brothers, because he believes that if someone were to come to them from the dead, surely they would repent and change their ways. But Abraham tells him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, if they do not listen to the word of God, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Abraham tells the rich man that your brothers have hardened their hearts. They have stopped up their ears so that they can no longer hear God's word to them. This is a scary passage. And the message for us is clear today, that today we are to be hearers of the word. That today we pray that the Spirit would open our ears to hear what God would have for us. That we would hear the admonition from 1 Timothy and we would be sorrowful over our own behavior. That we would see in this warning that Paul gives to Timothy that the riches and wealth, the things of this world, our desires for things can lead us away from the very faith that we have been given itself. And that we, like the rich man, can be condemned because of them. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And because of it, many have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. Today, hear this word and be sorrowful over our neglect of this word, over our neglect of those who are in need, those we see going to the food pantry, those we see going to get some clothes from the secondhand store, those that we know to be refugees, those who are children caught in the foster system waiting for parents to love them, those who maybe even sit by themselves, are socially poor, where we maybe are socially well off. And we don't even just look to those who are in need, we also look to ourselves who are also in need, those of us who fall into this temptation for stuff, for security in wealth, security in relationships, instead of certainty in our salvation. Today we are to be hearers of the word and hear that in the gospel we are forgiven, that we are called to repent of these things that we struggle with. Because God does richly provide for us, as Paul tells us, that we are to depend on God who richly provides for us with everything for our enjoyment. And out of this we are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. Because Jesus Himself has shared for us. We don't need Lazarus to leave heaven and come to us, because Christ has done this for us. He left the comforts of the heavenly throne room and came down to this hell on earth to save us from the torment that awaits us, to forgive us of our sin, to change us, to give us new and right hearts, hearts made of flesh, not of stone. So that we can be people, as Paul describes, that are godly and content. For we indeed have brought nothing into the world, so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Jesus has blessed us richly so that we can bless others. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we give thanks for what you have indeed given us, many things to be thankful for. And we ask God that you would help us to be content in these things. Help us to be hearers of your word, that the trappings of everyday life would not harden our hearts against you, would not stop up our ears to hear the word you might have for us to hear, whether it is a word to make us sorrowful or a word to make us joyful. We ask God that you would bless us so that we might continue to bless others. We pray this in your name. Amen.